Okay, let's talk about scope of practice real quickly, and then we're going to get into the past issues. So let's go into a little bit of scope of practice, and then we'll start working with precision repatterning. In terms of scope of practice, you don't want to work with anything that goes outside of the scope of personal and professional avocational self-improvement. So vocational or avocational self-improvement, I think that's a better way to describe it. Vocational or avocational self-improvement. Now, there's a lot of things that would fall within that category, unless you're a licensed professional or a doctor. So there's a lot of things that fall under the category of vocational or avocational self-improvement. I'll oftentimes end up going back and working in the past if I'm working with sales issues. Somebody comes in with a sales issue, and it turns out it's because they don't believe that they're deserving of making the kind of money they should, and we have to go back and release that from childhood because they had some example in their childhood where they made this limiting decision. Yeah, I'll go back there and I'll work with that. But if somebody comes to me and they say they have a diagnosed mental condition, or they have a diagnosed physical condition, I will almost always ask them to go to either their psychologist, their psychiatrist, or their medical doctor and get a note that just says that they know that they're working with me and that they understand that they're working with me and they have the permission of their medical doctor or psychologist. The reason is because first off, it's for the safety of the patient or the person that you're working with. It's like pain control with hypnosis. I've got a technique that can wipe out pain like that. Just take it away. Take out headaches like that. But who's to say there's not a tumor underneath the headache that caused the headache? So I always want to check with the medical doctor if I'm working on something like that, on physiological conditions. I want to check with the medical doctor so I'm working in conjunction with them. By the way, many medical doctors are very forward-thinking, and you'll get it's quite easy to get doctor referrals. And if you want, send me an email, and I'll send you a sample of a doctor referral sheet that I've got. And then you can kind of rewrite it, type in your own stuff, and use that for doctor referrals if you're going to do doctor referrals. If I work with something like cancer, I will always get a doctor referral just to say, like, if it's inside the family, I'm not saying that if it's inside the family, it would be less important for you to get that, okay? Because... you're not going to have issues with the doctor necessarily if you're doing that, right? But if you're working with strangers or you're working with a client off the street, you want to make sure that you get it as well. So within a family, if they're doing other things, I can imagine how some people would think that it would be easier to work with that without the doctor's referral because you're not going to have issues that come up typically, right? However, I would always look to get a doctor referral anytime that you were working with anybody for something like that because it's the law, right? And if there was an issue that came up as a result of working with it, from a legal standpoint, you would have issues. Inside the family, it's probably less likely that you're going to have that. So you can do it the way you want. And I need to say, for legal reasons, that you need to get a doctor referral. So I would do that for any diagnosed physiological issues or issues where they're seeing a medical doctor. I would always get a doctor referral. If you want a sample doctor referral, email us and I'll send you mine. That's one, and it's pretty easy to get. I've never had any problems getting doctor referrals before. I have had some doctors say, "Well, no, I don't believe in this type of stuff." What I'll tend to tell people is that we don't heal anybody, and I think that's important that we understand that as we're doing this. We don't heal anybody. It's illegal to heal people. So what we do, unless you're a priest or unless you're a doctor, so what we do is we can help people to ease the symptomology and make the symptomology. We can help them to tap into resources to ease the situation for themselves or get rid of the symptomology. But we don't heal people because that would be illegal. So just from a stance of talking about it, you need to make sure that you're talking the right talk. We can help people to do amazing things within themselves in terms of accessing resources and so on and so forth. And then that's pretty much what it says in my medical referral as well. I can assist them in dealing with the symptomology and some of the mental duress that's associated with this condition. Is it okay if I work with them? And then the doctor will 9 times out of 10 sign it and say yes. If not, you can get your own doctor that you work with too that might check them out before they come into you. That way you've covered your bases for the safety of the client. That way you've also covered your bases from a legal standpoint. And you know that you're going to be safe on that. Pain control, I think, is one of the, if I was to go into a niche in something, I would go into pain control. Because people do anything to get rid of their pain. It's worth anything to them, and we've got techniques that are just fabulous, and I'll teach you some tomorrow or the next day.
Now, you still get the release statement.
I would still get the release statement. Actually, we didn't used to do release statements with clients. I mean, when you talk about legal issues and stuff, you know, a licensed psychotherapist is far, far more likely of being sued than a non-licensed hypnotherapist or NLP practitioner. A licensed therapist is far more likely of being sued. And that's according to the American Psychological Association. But from a legal perspective, I think what you want to do is don't claim to heal anybody. Always work with a doctor if it's a medical issue. If it's a psychological issue where they have a diagnosed mental illness or something, you don't want to work with that unless you get a doctor referral from their psychologist. By the way, I've had lots of psychologists come in and refer me their clients. They say, hey, I can't make this work with this client. Would you work with them? I get that all the time. So, you can't diagnose either. And we don't want to diagnose anyway because the diagnosis puts the person in the box. It's like, yeah, we don't need that. We just change how they're doing what they're doing, you know, change their strategy. Stephen Gilligan, who's a famous NLP trainer, shocked the psychological community one time when he went in, and he's either a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And he went into the meeting and he said, I no longer diagnose. And everybody said, what? He says, yes, I think it puts the client in a box and it limits them and holds them back. And I agree with Stephen. I think that can oftentimes, once you're diagnosed, then that's the problem. It's like the little 9-year-old boy who said, I can't do well in school. And I said, why not? And he said, because I have ADHD.
Oh, God.
I said, okay.
Well, he's been given a label and yeah. You can wear it.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. So that's what I would do with issues like that. I work with them. I'll work with anything, but I'll do it with a doctor referral. And I ride the fine line on that because I think it's safer for the clients. I think it's the right thing to do. It's the legal thing to do, and that works that way. If I had a family member that came to me, I don't know if I would work with them without it. But you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I'm not planning on making any medical claims, and I definitely don't want to.
Right. No, if you feel that you were interfering, then I would definitely get a referral. Like if you felt that it would have something some effect on their treatment, I would definitely get a referral. If it was with a psychologist, I would get a referral for sure. Even if it was family, yeah, that is a challenge sometimes with family. So with family, sometimes what I'll do is refer them out. If it's somebody that's close to you, just refer them out to a friend or something. Maybe do a trade with a friend, whether your friend works with your family member for free and you. I did that with my good friend Jim. We went through master practitioner training together. He became a performance enhancement coach for sports teams. He's worked with the LA Kings, the U.S. volleyball team. He does real estate coaching, and it was sometimes like he called me up asking if I'd work with his friend's kid, you know. And so we'll do things like that where we help each other out from time to time, and I think that's a good thing to do.
I was gonna work with my father. So,
I think we lacked the prestige inside the family because they knew us how we were before. So I think that's it can be a challenge. I mean, I never tell people don't do it, but I will tell people that you may have challenges doing it. And it's here's where you wouldn't want to do it if you're part of the problem.
Okay. So what is some interventions that you could do that are just totally
cool. Sure.
Switch patterns and stuff like that. That's something that you could do.
Yeah. But if you're part of the problem, you'd want to have them work with somebody else. Of course. And you may not know if you're part of the problem until you get into it. But it's regardless of the technique of the intervention, it would be more the nature of the problem.
No, it's just a behavior pattern they have they want to
get rid of. Yeah. So I'd say that's fine. Yeah, unless you're part of the problem, I'd say, yeah, go for it.
I'm definitely part of the problem.
Okay. So